Okay, good morning. We continue Shara Mitzvilo. We are studying the section of Chilui. We have been developing the notion of how fortunate we are not to have to compose with our own creativity our own text of Tfilah, but the capacity to tap into the immortal brilliance of Chazal's formula for us, and the beauty of the development of davening. We've talked about from Sukkah to Zimra to Birchos Kriya Shema to the Amida, and so on. And today Rav Pinkas continues by talking about the importance of Tfilah B'tzibur. For those who are following, page Kuf Chav Vav 126, Os Zayin, we're near the end of Chilui. B'inyan Tfilah B'tzibur Nemar, V'nishna, Divrei Yisorah Rabin B'Sifrei Ha'avoda. When it comes to the value, when it comes to the importance of davening with a tzibur, so much has been written. It was Sefer Rosh HaGiva, in the book called Rosh HaGiva, says Rav Pinkas Mimori Agon Rav Pinchas Palatzik Mitalmidei Agra Mevi Mizohar Kadosh Pashas VaYishlach Ala Pasuk VaYira Yaakov Maod VaYitzer Lo. When Yaakov is going to reunite with Esav, it says that he was very fearful. He was very worried. He had great anxiety. Harikemen Shikol Machanos Hakadoshim Ayoito V'Lam Eloy Lios Yare. So why in the world is Yaakov worried? Yaakov is righteous. Yaakov is a tzaddik. Yaakov's camp is Kadosh, Machanacha Kadosh. His entire camp is holy. Yaakov is virtuous and righteous, and he has so much on his side. What's Yaakov worried about? Says the Sefer Rosh HaGiva, Bipnei Shehaya Livado. Vayivaser Yaakov Livado. Yaakov wrestles with the angel. He's alone. Utfilas Yachid Eina Ela Gavan Echad Ve'ena Mesukenes L'Eskabel K'tfilas Tzibur. Why is Yaakov worried? Because he knows how to daven. Yaakov's not worried that he's going to get the wrong words, that he's not going to have the proper kavana, the right intent. Why is Yaakov fearful? Why is Yaakov filled with anxiety? Because he is alone. And one offering a tefillah alone can't begin to compare to offering a tefillah in the context of a tzibur. Ki amalach sandalfon amamuna tefillos Yisrael, rokem v'osa atara mishal tzvayim l'chay olamim keser kavod mitfilasan shal Yisrael. The malach who delivers our tefillahs before the Ribono Shel Olam combines all the prayers offered by those who are davening b'tzibur, right? What happens? There's a malach at Boca Raton Synagogue. I don't know if he waits for all the minyanim to end, or there's a separate malach for each minyan. I'm not sure exactly how it works. But everybody who's in that minyan, instead of your prayer being delivered to God on its own, and God evaluating your prayer on its own, so God looks at Goldberg and he says, okay, Goldberg asked me today for A, B, and C. Goldberg needs a few things. Bring me Goldberg's file. Let's see how Goldberg's doing. Let's see how Goldberg behaved yesterday. Let's see how important what I want is to Goldberg. Let's see whether he meets my needs. If my priorities are his priorities. If he's a well-behaved boy. If these are his things that he's asking for, bring me his file. Let's see what's going on. But when Goldberg participates in Tefillah B'Tzibur, now it's not my request alone being brought before the Kisei HaKavod, but all of our prayers that complement one another are combined. They are integrated. And they are collated. And they're brought before the Kisei HaKavod. And so God looks at them all as one unit and looks at us and our merits as one unit. So where I am deficient, Nathan fills in. Where someone else is deficient, someone else fills in. Where we all complement one another, and so our prayer, blending into a greater whole, has a much better chance of being heard than if we are alone. I think it's the same attitude. A person comes before a judge, a person stopped by a policeman, a person comes before their boss. When you're in a group, there's a power of being in a group that one can benefit from more than when they are examined, more than when they are being evaluated on their own merit. So this malach combines our prayers and brings it up and creates the perfect crown to coronate the Ribono Shel Olam, which is composed of the jewels offered by each of our prayers. But when we are on our own, then we are potentially in trouble. You know, this notion of Tefillah B'Tzibur is a very powerful. It really elevates us, both empirically, both in the very practical, measurable sense, and spiritually, mystically. In the practical sense, I don't know anyone who doesn't daven better when they're davening with a minion. Now, I understand the people who say, you know, oh, they go too fast, I daven much better when I'm at home. There are the rabbis, myself included, who sometimes feel, you know, the worst thing in the world is that they're waiting for you, and they're looking at you, and they're surrounding you, and it's just when you daven alone, you can go at your own pace, and there's no one else in the room. There's definitely something to say for that. But on the whole, and on a regular basis, not on the rare occasion, but on a regular basis, when you daven b'tzibur, it paces you, you're slower. When you daven b'tzibur, there's an energy in the room of those davening with you, whether it's that they're davening out loud, or whether it's just the presence of other people that lifts you, that carries you, right, that you're not doing it alone.
And you're answering the kaddish.
You're answering dvarim shebikdusha. You have the opportunity, certainly, to answer and respond to dvarim shebikdusha that most certainly lifts you. But I'm saying just empirically, the quality of your davening, your capacity to concentrate when you're in a shul, which is a place designated for davening, as opposed to your living room with a million things going on, and your gadgets beeping, and your kids running, and the things you have to do weighing on you. So just empirically, davening b'tzibur elevates and enriches the experience of davening. And mystically, davening b'tzibur means that you're not evaluated as a lone, isolated individual. When you're standing at that living room wall, when you're davening at the kotel of your home, and you offer that tefillah to Hashem, that's when God says, okay, bring me the file. This guy's down. It's nice. I'm glad he's reaching out to me. He wants to connect with me. Let's see what's going on in his life. And you come to shul and you're blending into a community, you're able to blur some of your deficiencies because we complement one another. In other words, the way I see it, you know, we don't have enough time to develop this. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has in Sichos Musar this notion of being evaluated b'tzibur, that who you are. He talks about why is it when God counts the Jewish people, he does not count the tribe of Levi. Levi in Bamidbar is counted separately. Why is Levi counted separately? We'll get to you in a second, Shalom. Why is Levi counted separately? Because, Rashi there says, because why does God count them? Because after the chait, God was going to wipe them out. He wanted to see who was left. So Levi, who didn't participate in the chait, couldn't be counted with them. Ask Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, what do you mean? The omnipotent, infinite, perfect God certainly can do some math. Certainly can keep a good spreadsheet. He can't include Levi in the census, the tribe of Levi in the census, and yet not exact punishment because of the other people's poor judgment, indiscretions. Why did Levi have to be counted separately? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says a brilliant answer, that when you're counted among someone, you experience their fate, whether or not you're guilty of their behavior. Who you are, who you surround yourself with. And, you know, if you were in the car when such and such happened, but you didn't do anything, there's going to be consequences for you. When you are at the scene, when you are hanging with these people, when you are an employee at that company, when things go down, who you hang out with is going to impact who you are. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have counted Levi among them and yet not included them in the punishment. But the message being sent is that when who we count ourselves among has an impact on who we are. I like, whenever I quote that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I liken it to the stock market. A particular company might have no new data, no new revenue, no new profit to report, losses, and yet their stock can move up or down 5%, 10% or higher simply by the sector it belongs to. Biotech is up or it's down. The tech is up or it's down. Healthcare is up or it's down. REITs are up or they're down. Just by virtue of the sector it belongs to, the evaluation of the company could go up or down by billions, by millions. It has nothing new to report. Nothing on its merit or demerit. But just by who it associates with, it can go up or down. So that's tefillah b'tzibur. If we associate with a tzibur who is engaged in tefillah, our stock goes up. Even if our merit doesn't, just by virtue of tapping in and linking into that tzibur, that in itself is able to elevate us. So both on the empirical, practical level, we daven better. I think it's hard to deny you daven better in a shul than at home, at the pace of tefillah b'tzibur than on your own, aside from answering davar shebikdusha, hearing laning, and so on. But also on the spiritual, mystical level, the quality of that davening or the destination of where that davening can go is something so much greater. Yes?
Is